America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to another quarantined episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, masks and gloves, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, so, world's on fire.
More or less.
Yeah, we keep saying that, but nothing ever comes of it, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, these past couple of weeks have made me realize just how truly fucking stupid the people in my state really are.
Yeah.
But I'll get to that later, because it's going to be one of our stories that we got to talk about. But yeah, so it is now, we are now about 3 weeks into this now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
At least here in the U.S., I'm pretty much the rest of the world kind of decided to go ahead and take the fucking initiative before we did. Pretty much all but about 10 states in the union have now established a state shelter-in-place order. A handful of states have just gone full-on lockdown mode.
Complete with, like, crazy fines, too, for people who
are
not out.
Fines and possible imprisonment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of counterintuitive, but what the fuck else are you going to do? Summary execution?
Hmm.
Not yet.
I mean, there are some countries out there that have talked about it.
All the mayors in Italy have been talked, certainly seem to be getting to that point, if you've been watching fucking Facebook. But, Bill, you're of Italian descent. You would know all about that, wouldn't you?
Well, let's just put it this way. The Carabinieri don't fuck around at the best of times.
No. Okay, so before we get into what we usually do, let's do like what we did last couple of weeks. Let's just sort of give a status report in our individual areas of what it's looking like out there right now. So, Phil, what's it like up there in Canada?
So we've got shelter at home in place at the moment.
Yeah.
doing groceries was interesting.
Oh, really?
The whole social distancing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart is basically 10 customers at any given time, so that slows things down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty good idea what I would be doing if I still worked there.
Yeah.
Same thing KB Toys had me do on Black Friday.
Mm. So.
Which was?
Stand in front of the line and look angry.
Mm. that works. Yeah.
So I would probably just set it on fire. Say fuck this, walk right out the door.
Hmm.
I can find another job, fuck it.
Yeah.
It came to that eventually.
Yeah. Well, came out ahead in the end there.
Yep.
So. Yeah. But so like up in Canada, are you guys having like toilet paper shortages and shit?
No, there was kind of a run on it initially, but then apparently people came to their senses. So
wow, we could really fucking use that down here right now, because every time toilet paper shows up here, it fucking disappears within 24 hours.
Yeah, we've basically adapted it as the new currency.
I mean, honestly,
we're resigned to our fate.
Yeah, and I'm honestly wondering. Like, at some point, I'm absolutely certain there are some motherfuckers in this city who are price gouging now.
Yeah.
Like, they are absolutely buying this shit up in bulk so they can sell it later.
It's on freaking Facebook Marketplace. They're there.
Yeah.
They're there.
You gotta do to them what the Tennessee authorities do to that one asshole.
Mm. Yeah.
Name, yep. Shame, and then make them give up their game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For free.
Yeah.
Ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Has there been any health update on your prime minister?
He seems to be okay now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
that is good, because he is actually fucking sane.
Yeah. So
All right. So Pat, what's it like over in Utah right now?
No real major developments. The death toll is still in single digits. Last I checked, I think it hit 7 last night.
Wow, that would be
all
nice.
For all of Utah?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are doing so good.
Yeah, then there was that stunt that got pulled at the airport, so I fully expect those numbers to increase exponentially. Brandon, you know about this, right?
Yeah, but go ahead and remind everybody.
So the LDS Church called a bunch of missionaries home because of risk of coronavirus exposure.
Yeah.
And the thing with the LDS Church is that the vast majority of the membership is Utah-based.
Yep.
So take a guess what the scene was like at Salt Lake International that night.
Oh, boy.
It was not social distancing or any sort of isolation.
Mm-mm.
It was coming
from so many different places, too, and then coming back to Utah.
Yep.
It was a veritable orgy of humanity and biology, and
closest the LDS Church has actually ever gotten to a fucking orgy.
I could say a few things there, but
there are already a handful of jokes there we already know about.
Yeah.
All right.
That's kind of where we're at with it. I think we're about a week away from seeing anyone who got exposed from that mess starting to show symptoms. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Teresa, how's it looking in Illinois?
It's not good. Our stay at home was extended through April 30th.
Yeah.
And we have just shy of 7,700 cases. Mm-hmm. My little county is 300 square miles, or 336 square miles, and we have 495 cases in my county, including 17 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really good. We have 15 cases in my little itty-bitty village, and we have like 22,000 population.
Yeah, now
like
which
that.
Village is that?
I'm in Bloomingdale.
Okay.
So the people to the south of us and Carroll Stream have 23 cases. Addison, right over to the east, has fucking 32 cases. And Glendale Heights has, I think, 17. So we look around, and we do not want to go anywhere out there. Like, fucking nowhere.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
Yeah, I mean,
fuck all of that noise.
Right? 7,700 people statewide, and we've been under stay-at-home orders for 2 weeks now. And like I said, extended for another month, another like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of projections showing that we might peak in cases, in the first week of May. And there's some projections showing further out, and we are under quarantine. Not official quarantine, but we're not supposed to be out for anything other than essentials. And, the models are so far apart based on what they anticipate Illinois residents to do in regards to actually staying at home. Are we going to do it right, or are we going to fuck it up? So if we're going to fuck it up, we're going to be under stay-at-home orders through the end of June. I mean, this is looking a little depressing.
Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest. I do not see any of these cases actually starting to taper off until June.
I know. I am in agreement.
Yeah, that is optimistic on my part.
Yeah, there's one person. She's had to go back and live with her parents. She can't really stay at her condo by herself because she doesn't know how to cook.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the you were telling me about the other day.
I was telling you this morning. I told her to sell her condo because she's not coming back this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's before the bottom falls out. I mean, right now they're listing high, but they're already dropping.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very, very uncertain everything. Mm-hmm. And at least our state government is looking forward and saying, how the fuck are we going to deal with the coming recession? Which, well, we're in a recession now.
Yeah.
It's official.
Yeah.
But we had like 177,000 people file for unemployment in Illinois, I think, this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's actually like the total wide, like nationwide. Well, we'll talk about it later.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got it, but it basically is the new record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to sum it up, it's fucking scary here is what it is.
Yeah, but yeah, okay, so Chris, how's it going down in Ohio?
So the numbers I was just looking up were at about 3,300 cases, 91 deaths, which is at least better than some places, like New York, which is...
Yeah, that's kind of the epicenter at this point.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I've been noticing a lot more of the, like, trying to... keep an eye on like social distancing and seeing how that stuff goes, which I had to go and get some food the other day. And the big problem with grocery stores is they're not designed for space.
It's true.
Maybe and most like the aisles are fuck.
Yeah, like the aisles are designed for two carts. Why, that's it. For the most part. And so I was getting some food, and then I went to the medicine aisles to see, like, what was there, because I was looking for something. And there's this old couple just hanging out in the middle of it for, like, 4 or 5 minutes.
Because
I so badly wanted to say, like, get your shit and get out.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just hung out there for a bit. And eventually, when they got their stuff and got out, I went and looked, and it was empty anyway, what I wanted. So I was like, I waste this time on these fucking idiots. But yeah, and along the way, like, people are trying to get in or out, and these people are just blocking. It's like, you guys need to, introverts work where they want to see people, and I'm like, all right, I'll find another way around. You know, you don't have to go directly one way. Stores have many aisles. And yeah, like at work, we're limiting the amount of people that can get into the store, which is fine, but the number is bigger than we have at any one point anyway. So nothing really changed.
Mm.
But I don't know that we have procedures in place what to do if we reach that limit. I think it's like one of those things where, like, they got the mandate before they knew what to do with it. So yeah, that probably has to be shrunk if they want any actual change, but they are limiting how many people can come in per like group down to two people at a time instead of parents bringing their kids and all that. I was like, yeah, that's like, leave one of the parents home with the kids.
Yeah.
Send the other person out to do the risky thing. Save everybody some time. And that's kind of the weird thing. So yeah, we'll have to see how this works out. But yeah, like noticing the social distancing stuff and like paying attention, like, kind of makes me really want there to be like universal phone apps that like ringed when you were within 6 feet of another person with their phone. Like, give people the actual ability to tell like when they're too close to other people.
Yeah.
So I don't think people realize how close they are when they're just bunching up in the stupidest ways.
You can always carry a bayonet.
I like that meme. Yeah. We went by a Trader Joe's last weekend, and Scott went in. They were letting like 20 people in the store at a time, so it was one in, one out. And they had everybody lining up 6 feet apart down the sidewalk waiting to get in. And this one woman was clearly in this other guy's personal space, and he had a shopping basket that he had already sanitized with his little wipe. And he was like swinging it behind him in kind of a passive aggressive way. And I felt really bad for him because you could tell that he wanted that woman out of his space. And she was just like fucking clueless.
It's like, this is the point where you have to actually pay attention to what's going on around you and not just be a typical like ditzy self. Just clueless to everything that's going on around you. And that's the exact opposite of what we need right now from these people. It's like, you got to be paying attention to your surroundings.
Right? like not texting and walking, like this dude who almost ran right into Scott on the walking path last night.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, yeah. It's 6 feet wide. What the fuck? Of course, yeah. It was also dark. We waited until dark, hoping nobody else would be out, but.
Nope.
Yeah. You see how well that worked out.
Yeah. The fun thing with our store is that, so we have signs up like, hey, here are the new hours, and people still show up at the original opening hours and just stand there staring at the door, like expecting like somebody to just be like, oh, you're waiting out here. We'll let you in. Instead of being like, no, can't read the dumb fucking piece of paper standing right in front of you, telling you, hey, this is the hours.
And so now we're not like in the extra hours that you're closed. You guys like going through and spraying fucking everything with Lysol.
They are, I think they're cleaning like the high traffic areas, like where the carts are, the bathrooms, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
They have like little things on the floors like, hey, you should stand here to be 6 feet behind the person that's ahead of you or whatever. Then I noticed like busy days, they or any day they should have, like the alternate registers in use.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, but busy days, that's not going to be possible. But also, even our own people aren't doing the social distancing stuff as well. Like, I see supervisors, like standing next to each other.
Of course, fucking supervisors.
Mm. I'm like, can't you guys stand and just talk? It's not that, like, there's that many people. It's not that loud anymore inside. No, you got to be next to each other. And there are instances where it's going to be tough to do that stuff when you know, like at the registers where you have to have people next to you kind of thing. But every other instance, you guys should be able to just keep a distance. Like mm-hmm. You're the people that are supposed to be leading this charge and you're just acting like dinguses the whole way. It's like how the hell are we supposed to expect anything to improve if not even the people at the top are know what they're doing.
I'm just waiting for somebody to decide that it's a self-defense issue.
Yeah.
And we were joking like, this is America.
Yeah, we were joking about helping people put stuff in their cars and like get in their car and just like, back the fuck up! Get away from me! Just yelling at these people like in a jokey manner, but still tell them like, hey, this is what you need to fucking do. Instead of just fucking hanging around staring at us. Like, this is a one time, like, go get in your fucking car and let us do our shit. Because at least you're 6 feet away at that point, most of the time.
Unless you're an asshole.
Yeah, but we do have, like, concierge service now, so people can even pull up with just, like, a list and have people go and get the items for them if they need to.
I still think you're giving them too much credit.
Yeah. It'll be fun to figure out, see how, like, once we get the other side, what services actually stick around. Because it seems like there's, like, a big potential revolution in retail service for just getting people their shit and getting them out. And see if, like, all that drive-up stuff is going to be potentially kept around. Because it's, less traffic in the store. Blocking the people that are actually looking around or whatever. Because there's plenty of people that are just like, I just want this one thing and I want to get out of here. And, those people aren't going to be convinced to stick around and spend more money.
No.
They want to. It's better just get them in and out as fast as possible and let the looky-loos do their thing.
What I find kind of weird, though, is that some of these stores have like had these programs in place already. And nobody's ever used them.
Not to the degree they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know like at Best Buy, you could literally pull up and have them put your stuff in the car if you need to for the bigger items. But now they're just not letting anybody in. So it's like, all right, you got to make sure you got the right payment method ready and all that stuff, and you're good to go.
Yeah. You can't use cash here anymore.
Yeah, I've That's seen some thing. People doing that, saying that. I think the GameStop email I got about that was like, Yeah, you can't use cash or debit cards, non-chipped debit cards, I guess.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Good thing mine's chipped.
Yeah.
Mine's chipped, yeah. But it doesn't work.
We've been using our phones to pay, so nobody touches our shit, and they don't have to touch our shit any more than, yeah. You know, usual.
Yeah, that's the nice part about like grocery stores having their own apps is like you can just scan everything yourself and check out. Like it just has like a QR code they can scan if they need to, and you're out. Put your shit away the way you want instead of letting somebody else do it. All that kind of stuff. Which, hey, that's going to be the cool part of once we get out of this. It's like, see how a lot of things in how we do retail and shopping and all this is going to change for the better. Mm-hmm. Instead of having been largely the same as it was, you know, 50, 60 years ago. Just with slight improvement of tech, being able to order online and all that.
Right. But yeah. In our rush to return to life as normal, we need to pick and choose which parts of life as normal we really want to return to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to point out long-ass fucking commutes for people who like working from home.
Well, the one thing I've been noticing...
I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to go back to working out of an office because this has been a dream.
Yeah. The one thing I've noticed is I assume the cops must be super bored. Because I've been noticing cops hanging out in the highways doing checking speeds on people. I'm like, you guys have nothing to do. You can't just help people. You got to sit here and fucking park yourself in the median just hoping there's a speeder so you can ruin their day. Like there's not enough bad shit going on anyway. But I guess not.
They can't get their quota in this environment.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
They don't have drugs to plant or suspects to abuse, and they're going stir crazy.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how crime rates are right now with the stay-at-home orders because the stores aren't open. So,
well, they're way down in Chicago. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. As for me, down here in Georgia, well. As last time I checked, we have a grand total of 5,967 cases statewide.
That's a lot for you guys.
Oh, yes, it is. And I'm going to go ahead and put this link in the chat. It's the same one I use basically every week to show you at the very bottom that little map of Georgia of the cases. Of the 159 counties in Georgia, only 12 so far have reported no infection. The two biggest still is Fulton County, which is where Atlanta is, and Doherty, which is where Albany is. Fulton has the top number of reported infections. Doherty, however, has the top number of death. Fulton County, there are 882 confirmed cases with 23 reported deaths. Doherty County, 560 confirmed cases with 30 deaths.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they found out exactly why it's happening like that in Doherty. Because they traced it back to a handful of funeral services that had been held in a general area. And what lots of kinds of people tend to show up at funeral services?
Old people that you're supposed to poke and say, it's your turn next.
Exactly.
Irony.
Yeah, grand, grand irony.
Shit.
We are now, as of 6 o'clock this morning, under a statewide shelter-in-place order. We could have been under a statewide shelter-in-place order a lot fucking sooner.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. Where I'm in, Jones County, there are 6 confirmed cases, but nobody has died yet. However, in neighboring Baldwin County and Bibb County, there have been 1 deaths reported for each. Whereas in Twiggs and Wilkinson, people are still fine. See, and Jasper and Monroe and Putnam both still only have one or two cases and no deaths. Surprisingly enough, the areas of the state that are actually nearest to Florida are actually pretty light. The highest number of confirmed infections next to the Georgia-Florida line, I refuse to call it the Florida-Georgia line because I fucking hate that band, is Lowndes County, which has 28 confirmed cases but only one death. So, you know, you figure it out. But yeah, that is where we are at the moment. Honestly, nobody in this fucking state knows what to do with themselves.
Apparently not.
Right now, we are allowed to go out for essentials, like, you know, if you need to go get groceries or the pharmacy or a doctor's appointment. Or anything like that. Non-essential businesses are still allowed to work, but they are required to work at minimum capacity. So, you know, again, places like GameStop are doing only door service now.
Yeah.
You can still go out walking or exercising if it's some place that's in the open air. So, you know, national park or, you know, a state park or, you know, like a field at a school or because they sure as fuck aren't using it. The, you know, golf courses, those are all still open. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. And it's going to find out pretty soon that, well, you'll see. All right. All right, so with that all the way, that'll be enough COVID talk before the time being until we get to the dump truck. So with that out of the way, Phil, other than that shit, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I'm still going through the Wheel of Time. I'm about a third of the way through the sixth book again.
Mm-hmm.
So making my way through those. And, yeah, allergies, they suck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got the nice congestion, I got the runny nose, I got the stuffy head, I got the lovely cough. Yeah, it's great. But it also means that I don't have COVID-19 because those are all not symptoms of it. So, yeah, that's at least fairly good in one way. But it does mean that anytime I cough and somebody is nearby, they look at me funny.
You get the stink eye.
Yeah. It's like, no, can't you hear it? That's different. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been basically just, like I said, doing that and not a whole heck of a lot else, really. It's kind of been pretty quiet. And usually this would be the time of year that I start getting out and going to do stuff. Yeah, that hasn't been working out so good right now. So,
yeah.
So that's kind of been it for me.
All right. Pat, what about you?
Well, I've been fully settled into working from home now for a full week. And my job has done something pretty cool, at least for the moment. We have carte blanche during business hours to work as much overtime as we want. So, I've been putting in 11-hour work days because money. Yeah. So, I'm definitely taking advantage of that. And it's strange because when I'm actually working from home, I can live in my head well enough to be productive while putting in overtime. So I have a reason to go for it. So, yeah, I just got done with my third 11-hour shift in a row. And we're also getting an option to work 6 to 10 on Saturdays, so money. So I don't know how long this gravy train's going to be going, but I'm making the most of it.
Might as well take advantage of it until they stop you.
Yep. And then other than that, I've got my guitar, my bass guitar, I've got Rocksmith, and I suck so bad, it's not even funny, but I am very, very, very slowly getting there, and it's a lot of fun, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I told you, dude, use those games in the arcade. They do help.
Yeah, I'll be doing that, for sure.
Just trust me on this. That shit... Because those things aren't just for fun. That shit is really good with helping you do muscle memory.
Nice. And that's probably what I need, because my big issue right now is, like, taking up the bass has been very similar to being, like, 5, 6 years old and playing a Nintendo for the first time and thinking, how the fuck am I supposed to control this character on the screen when I have to keep looking down at the controller? Mm-hmm. So, once I get over that hump, it'll be nice, but I have a feeling it's going to take me a minute, even with the best of resources at my disposal. But, yeah, that's pretty much been it for me.
All right. Teresa, what about you?
Well, I've been watching every effing thing possible, trying to catch up on some stuff. We finished Star Trek Picard Season 1. And, holy crap. And also, holy crap, I really didn't like that. I want to see what's happening with season 2. I can think of why they did it. And the whole definition of what is life and getting really philosophical. But, I don't know. Felt kind of weird. But we've, started season 2 of Discovery and, yeah, totally digging that. Like, we watch an episode every day, except today we watch two. Season 2 is a big improvement over season 1. We finished off The Good Place, and that ended in a very good way. We are still chugging through season 1 of Dragon Ball, and I started Ken Monomichi Rise Up, which, if you guys have ever seen that, I'm sure you know exactly why.
The name rings
that.
A bell.
It's the animal lover wrestler who the something animal mask, I think is his name.
Yeah,
he gets pulled into some other dimension or something. And that's hysterical. You know, it's just kind of it's a fluff anime. It's nothing serious.
A palate cleanser.
Yeah. We watched Shazam. And I was glad that we finally got around to watching that, because that was so funny.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking... Yeah, it's great.
It was. And I'm ready for Shazam 2, because, you know, I'm like 2 years behind on watching it, so shouldn't that be coming out soon? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I finally got around to watching Young Frankenstein. I've wanted to watch
it
since I was a kid. Yeah. And I guess I shouldn't have been wanting to watch it since I was a kid, because that's like... That's over 30 years of anticipation, and it was a very slow...
Nothing can live up to that.
No, it was a very slow slog. It was funny, but...
Well, you got to remember, it's one of his first movies.
It was,
Brooks' movie, so the snappiness that, you know, his later movies are, yeah, it's a bit more of a slow burn.
Right. It's also kind of emulating an older style of movie.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing's in black and white, so...
Exactly. They were definitely going after the old Frankenstein, you know, in Nosferatu type of stuff, where those movies didn't move very fast, but...
No.
Well, that was a long hour and 45 minutes. But I'm glad I watched it, because it was funny, and what's-his-face? Gene Wilder, of course, was brilliant, as he always is.
Especially when the monster overtakes him in popularity.
Yeah.
Just, like, gets a woman. It's like, okay, now he's horny. Okay, that's the thing.
Yeah, the ending was pretty funny. I liked the way that worked out. That was a lot of what I did this week. I also have been working. They did extend my contract through the end of April. So
how's that going to work?
Was same as it's been. I'm just working from home. I had a call with someone Friday and we went over a whole ton of shit. And then I had a call with my boss today and we went over some more stuff. And I'm putting together a policy for the other guy who, I mean, I guess the policy never existed. Maybe they always imagined it or whatever, but it was just never written. There's fucking nothing in the archives on it. So I'm writing it new, and I think it's going to be a long one too. So I've got some solid work ahead of me, honestly, which is nice. It would have felt really bad to leave the contract with the work not finished, but it's been a weird time, you know? Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's really business as usual, I mean, for the most part, but the vast majority of my time has been Animal Crossing New Horizons. I am definitely enjoying that. I've been to a lot of people's islands. A lot of people have visited my islands. Dan Reb came over, I think, last week or something. I know he's looking for roses. I haven't found those yet, but I've been going around and collecting seeds and fruits and all sorts of stuff for all of my friends who don't have either the time or the connections to find all this stuff. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a great escape. I mean, there's no way I'm ever going to think about this game without thinking about the time that we're living through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but that was a lot, but that's it.
All right. Well, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm just fucking tired as hell. Working not too much hours, but just dealing with all this stuff going on, like having anxiety of just trying to hope that the people, you know, around me are not sick in any way. So that's kind of the causes, like, my energy when I get home, be like, okay, I'm completely drained, no interest in doing much of anything, which is just unfortunate. But I got the weekend off, so I'm gonna recharge my batteries here.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You got to be kind to yourself. You're in crisis mode every single day. This is not probably not anything you've had to deal with on a prolonged basis before.
Oh no, and it's the sad thing is there's no end in sight for the time being. But yeah, when I've had time to sit down and actually do stuff, I finished up King of the Hill, watched through the end of season 13, and yeah, there's a whole bit of fuckery there because the final episode is not the final episode. I guess it's the fifth to last episode where Bobby finds out he has skills in grading meat.
Yep.
And sort of joins the local community college for this whole competition thing.
And I know you're thinking, like, wait, they would have, like, a team based around grading meat. Remember, it's Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beef industry is, like, a big fucking deal. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they would totally have one of those.
And, yeah, the notion of, like, especially, like, community colleges would be having teams for this stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, but... it ultimately
like I said, ends, it's Texas.
Yeah, it ultimately ends with Bobby coming to the realization he shares at least one hobby with Hank, which is grilling meat.
Yep.
And all that kind of stuff. And so like it all ends with them grilling steaks. For whatever reason, they don't seem to be expecting people to come over for a barbecue, but a bunch of people show up and they just happen to have cooked a bunch of steaks anyway.
Yeah.
Because
for some weird reason. And so, yeah, they have a nice line there at the end where Bobby's like, well, I guess this is it. He's like, no, you've got a whole life of grilling ahead of you kind of things. Mm-hmm. Really nice moments. Everybody comes over. They get steaks, eat, enjoy. Company that kind of zooms out to like a view of Arlen as a whole kind of thing, mm-hmm. like, similar to what the very first shots of the show was.
Yep.
You find out what Boomhauer does for a living.
Yeah. And, it's a nice ending. And then there's four more.
I forgot.
Episodes.
What does he do for a living?
He's a Texas Ranger.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then there's like four more episodes. Just like, all right, this is like, what happens with, shows when Fox gets ready for them to end is just fuck with their episode order at the end, so that the final episode is some weird thing with Khan making like a super grill kind of thing, where he's like on drugs or something like that. It's like, this makes no sense to be the final episode, other than Fox just pulled a Fox back when this was finished up. And yeah, some of the episodes are in widescreen, HD, that kind of thing, but others aren't. So it's like they were dipping their toes in. If you wanted an idea of when this thing happened, when they finished up this season. But yeah, I also watched Onward, which is on Disney Plus now, which was pretty good. It's actually fairly, it's like 1 hour 45, something like that. It's not too long for a Pixar movie. But yeah, it's a pretty cool movie about these two brothers who their father passed away when they were very young, so they don't remember him much at all. And they find a weird staff hidden away with a note that had a potential spell that could bring him back for a day. The older brother, who's played by Chris, I forget which Chris it is, Star-Lord Chris, I forget what his name is, but anyway, he plays the older brother who's
Chris Pine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. That's Star Trek Chris. No, that's you have to look that up, but
I'll look that up.
Yeah, he tries out the spell, it doesn't work. Then the younger brother who tries it out, and it works out pretty well, except it only creates half the father, the bottom half. Essentially his hip and legs.
Pratt, Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so it's like Full Metal Alchemist rated G.
Kind of. There's no real terrible thing that goes on with it. But then the older brother is very into like their version of D&D, which is not a like fantasy universe. It's like their history of their universe. The problem is the Phoenix gem that is used in that staff to do the spell breaks, and there's not too many of them left. So they go on a quest, go to the Manticore's tavern, and find out, oh, the Manticore's turned this tavern into like a Chuck E. Cheese kind of place versus a place that, you know, you'll get quests and that kind of stuff at. There's a bunch of other stuff going on, but along the way, the brother is like learning how to become a mage, learning these spells that come directly from this game, but are actual spells that he learns how to use, that kind of thing. It ends in some pretty cool stuff that, it's a pretty good movie. I also watched the Muppet movie on Disney Plus, which is still a great movie. And one of the cool things with Disney Plus having a lot of like supplemental material on these movies, they have like a weird like location test thing on there. It's like 20 minutes or so of them at this farm with Kermit, Fozzie, and I forget what the big Muppet that's working at the car dealership. They had a guy in that suit. They're just ad-libbing shit on the farm, different places as they're like trying out things. There's one point where they have the Fozzie and Kermit ask the big dude to go running across this field to go get them some burgers. They're just like yelling at him as he's like, you know, a couple hundred feet away, that kind of thing. It's some pretty funny stuff. As they're just kind of testing out some things, which is pretty cool. And playing a new game that I got recently on Android, which is called Hold Down. It is, so there's like this genre of games on mobile that you kind of, it's kind of a bit like an Arkanoid, something like that, where you're essentially shooting these balls towards these different blocks, but they have numbers on them. And that's how many times you have to hit them to remove the block. And for this game, you are trying to go down these layers of these blocks to the core of these different planets, and you're kind of working your way through all of them. And along the way, you get these like gems that you can use to upgrade, so you can have more balls that you can shoot out, a bunch of other like perks kind of things. Mm. So you're kind of just slowly grinding out that stuff to get yourself able to get through them more easily and sort of work your way up to the harder ones. Mm. I got to the last one, which is a black hole that's just, it's an infinite one, so it's just, you just keep playing as much as you can, see how far you can get. So I'm just about done with it. But, you know, for a couple bucks, it's a pretty fun time. And there's also just this weird character that's hanging out in the one corner. You can tap him and he says certain things, and it's a very democratic socialist thing.
Yeah.
He's, like, he's the means of production. He'll say sometimes like things like that. It's like, all right, it's something weird. Like the rest of this game has none of this in it, but just this one weird little character you can kind of tap for some weird little messages. And yeah, played some Deep Sky Derelicts, which is a game that just came out the other day. Did a stream last Saturday. So since my schedule is all kind of messed up right now, I haven't been streaming too much during the week. But I'm trying to do longer streams during the weekend to make up for it, and streamed this on Saturday. Streamed for about 3.5 hours and found it to be pretty cool. So when you initially look at it, it kind of looks like Darkest Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference is every part of its design is not made to be utterly depressing like Darkest Dungeon is. So it's not a roguelike. There's no like mental health flaws that you get just for taking hits and such and fights and all that kind of stuff. The map is a bit different. The combat's a bit different. There's a bit of a card combat kind of stuff to it.
Mm.
Which is more just a way of fleshing out your character, not just being straight RPG kind of thing. But you're kind of going through these derelicts, which are kind of ships that have been abandoned, and you're kind of exploring them. You usually get quests, or contracts as they call it, to find certain items or fully explore it, that kind of stuff. And it's... you know, it's really nice to kind of work your way through. And not being a roguelike, you can kind of take some risks with it, and you can kind of save scum if you want. So you don't have to necessarily lose too much if you don't want to for that kind of thing. There is a hardcore difficulty mode, so I assume that's the one where you can have people you lose permanently, because there's like a tavern you can go back to your base that you can pick up more people, but... on the base difficulty, you'll probably keep your people around for a while, so you don't really have to worry about that too much. But yeah, it's that was pretty well done. And yeah, the only other thing I've been doing is just playing some Animal Crossing New Horizons some more. I have the Able Sisters, and I'm waiting for their shop to get built. Doing stuff with this Bunny Day event that's going on, which just means there are tons of fucking eggs all over the place,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of annoying. When like maybe a third to half of the fish you try and catch are eggs. It's like, all right, it's hard to get new fish anyway, but half of them being eggs is like super annoying. There's like 5 different kinds of eggs. So now there's eggs that are buried in the ground, like the fossils. And so like there's like 10 usually a day or something like that. And so you have to like hope the ones you find early are fossils, or you just know they're all fucking eggs,
mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. But for the most part, it's been fun. But yeah, I got the resident services upgraded, so now I can do like a town flag and a town song. And I picked out my town song, so I'm going to play that for you, so you guys can tell me if you recognize what this is.
Oh, God damn it.
Yep.
You sick bastard.
It was the only song that could represent the chaos of this island. but yeah, that's... I was looking around for songs, and like, there's a bunch of, you know, typical stuff. Like, oh, here's, you know, Mario Brothers or Zelda or Fire Emblem songs. And I was like, ah, this isn't doing it for me. And it's like, oh, here's All-Star by Smash Mouth. I was like, all right, here's Here's the good stuff. I was looking for like some sort of Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z music, something like that. And I didn't find anything for that just yet. So that was kind of where that was at.
I thought nobody was going to have a more cringy song. Sorry, Chris, than mine, but you beat me, dude.
Yeah, okay, now I need to know, what did you go with?
Do you want to build a snowman? I know. I did it to piss off my kid. And he still hasn't noticed. He still hasn't noticed.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's been pretty much it. I'm definitely going to be streaming tomorrow. I should figure out what I'm going to stream. Because I haven't had time to think of anything but my desire to get some sleep at some point.
You're going to come to my town and stream Animal Crossing. That's what you're going to do.
I don't know. I got my fruit trees set up on the other side of the island, which that means I think I have way too many orange trees. Because it's like this very long row of them. That is like, okay, this is too many oranges. I don't need that many. Because it's like probably 15, 20 trees. It's a lot. I'm trying to get my pears up, and I got coconuts that have to be planted in the sand, and so there's no rhyme or reason for where I put them, because there's no easy way to organize that like the rest of them. But yeah, I think you saw my tarantula attack video.
Yes.
I posted. I got out of the shop, and there happened to be a tarantula nearby. I didn't notice, and so I'm like going to run towards my house. I'm like, why the fuck is this thing chasing me? And so I'm like, okay, I gotta do something. I should just ran at the house, but I go to like turn around and face it, and it fucking just gets me before I get a chance to even do anything. Like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in Animal Crossing. These things are fucking chasing me around the place. I'd rather face wasps than these stupid tarantulas.
Oh God, yeah, I got some wasps after me. And I went to one of my animals' doors to knock on the door. Fucker wasn't home.
Yeah. I had, when I was running and went to go into the services tent, and for whatever reason, it didn't register that I wanted to go in there. Oh, also, no. I don't really care anymore at this point. It's like, it doesn't really do anything to you.
Only if you get stung twice in a row.
Yeah,
this
but
is really not sounding like Animal Crossing at this point.
The wasp has always been there.
It's sounding that's like Australia been. Strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, like if you get stung twice, you just reappear at your house. That's it. No real loss. You don't lose any items or anything. Which also, before I upgraded my house again, I actually ran into a limit on the inventory.
You did.
So I was literally just leaving shit all over the house and all over the island. So I just, my inventory was full. I could not do anything.
Shit.
But I did get it upgraded now, so I have to double check that. But I also did sell, got my first turnips to sell and sold them for a profit. I just sold them the first time.
God, so I can't find anywhere to sell mine, and it's going to be Saturday tomorrow.
And I saw somebody I was following was like, you know, I bought them for this much. Here it is, like, Thursday, it's like, oh, they're offering me 66, and the next day it's like 31. It's like, this is a war crime.
Yeah.
It's just going down. It's like, yeah, that's what happens when you play the stock market. You balk at the profit days.
All
right.
Just
do what you can and sell them right away. Don't be like these weirdos, like, oh, I need somebody that's got the magical 500 turnip bell island and just go there. It's like, those are... those are the crazy people.
I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to lose them, and then you're going to waste all that money.
Nah, I'll find somebody on my Facebook group or something that's selling them high, or where they're selling them high.
All right.
Well, as for me, I finished Doom Eternal, so... at this point, all I'm doing is sort of going back and trying to get all the stuff I missed. So what I have been playing seriously for the last few nights is Shadow of the Colossus, the newer version, the remake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Shadow of the Colossus. It's amazing. It was amazing the first time around. It's just as amazing now.
Yeah.
Also, I gotta ask. He didn't speak in the original, did he?
No.
Yeah, because he actually has dialogue in this game, in this version.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's some, like, initially, before you start doing stuff, but that's about it.
Yeah. But yeah, basically what they did is, you know, they went back, they redid all of the graphics, you know, re-recorded some of the music. And I mean, that's pretty much it. It's basically the same game. And I'm now only 2 Colossi away from finishing it.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. And this is just on normal mode too. So I've been tearing ass through it. Yeah, it's, but yeah, it's a great game. I got it because, you know, it was free on PSN for last month.
Yeah, we were issued it.
Yeah. This month, I think we're going to get, I think, the one that's actually worth playing is Uncharted 4. But I've also been playing Vampyr, you know, the game from Dontnod. That game is weirdly topical because it takes place during the 1918 Spanish flu outbreak.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wonder if they saw that coming.
So basically, in this game, what you're doing is you're playing this dude who was a doctor, and you know, during the war, he was a medic, and he wakes up at the beginning of the game and basically like on top of like a pile of corpses, and he goes walking through the streets, he's desperately thirsty, and then he meets, you don't recognize it at the moment, because at the moment all you can see is her circulatory system and her silhouette, because he's like, fuck, I gotta get some blood. Hmm. And he finds out it's his sister that he just straight up killed. And now basically the rest of the game is you trying to figure out who is the person that turned you into a vampire. And you're sort of having to deal with, you know, all the stuff that comes with being a vampire. You gotta avoid sunlight. Weirdly enough, you do still have a reflection. Yeah. And also there is a, there is a combat mechanic in this game that was totally not fucking needed. Like, at all. In fact, it feels very tacked on. But it's fun. But it's, otherwise, it's still a pretty good game. You can definitely tell it's a Dontnod game because it uses their engine. Like the, you know what I mean, with like the character animations and everything.
Yeah.
You know, books, still reading books. I finished Yosa's Super Extra Grande the other day, so I started reading Condom Knots, which is his most recent work that was translated into English. He's got one more that's coming from this publisher, Restless Books, called Red Dust, that comes out in July. And I called the, I emailed the publisher and asked them, like, hey, is there, like, any more books you got coming? And he's like, we don't really have any planned at this time. So I got to get in touch with Yost and find out what his publishing deals are right now.
Yeah.
Maybe get him on the show to plug it.
He does not speak English.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Flaunt that plan.
Well, I say he doesn't speak English. He does kind of speak English, but he has a very strong Cuban accent that makes it almost unrecognizable. So
it might be easier for written communication as well, too.
Yeah. In case also, I need to remind you, he lives in Havana.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, they all have internet in Cuba, but it's kind of shitty on a good day. So,
yeah.
Although, weirdly enough, it's actually pretty much wide open, too. Like, you would expect, like, Cuba would have, like, a very censorious internet, but no, it doesn't. The only thing it filters out is porn. And I know how that may sound, but from what Yost has told me about living in Cuba, you don't really need the porn.
Okay, then.
But yeah, Condom Knots is basically... It sounds like porn, but it's really not. It does not read like it at all. The basic idea is it's about a group of people who their specific job is their contact specialist. They are people who try to do first contact. They try to, you know, set up deals with new alien races that come into the galactic community. And there are basically a number of ways they do this, but basically it's through sex. And I know that makes, again, that sounds like, oh, it's porn. It's not. It's very clinical because most of the time these guys are going up against aliens that are of, like, the starfish variety. Yeah.
Like actual starfish or the juggernaut?
Well, more like floating gelatinous blobs with tentacles.
Okay.
But actually the
this
first...
This is why aliens won't visit us.
Yeah, but the first...
They know what they're going to get.
Yeah, the first that he actually visits in the book is actually a race of aliens that work telepathically. So the alien he ends up doing it with is actually like a he doesn't actually... I guess he kind of does, but he doesn't see it that way. The alien sort of like picks out like a... sort of hodgepodge of like the women he's had in his life and like creates the ideal vision of what a woman for him would be. Here's the thing though. He's gay.
All right.
Whoops.
Well, mostly. He makes it clear in the book that he is usually not attracted to human women, and the only females he's actually attracted to are alien women. One of whom is his shipmate, who is basically like a merwoman. Not a mermaid! You know that dude from Darkstalkers?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, female version of that.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah. So yeah, and other than that, Netflix, because, I mean, what the fuck X are we going to do? What the fuck else are we going to do, right? And I started watching JoJo, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I forgot how many fucking times that story changes genre with, like, every goddamn new installment. It really does, like...
Yeah, they try something different every time.
Yeah, so, like, the very first, like, the very beginning of the JoJo series, it's... basically like a historical gothic drama, literally, like really, like it's mostly about like vampires and, you know, this dude like, you know, trying to get along with this kid that his dad adopted. The kid just so happens to be Dio.
Yeah.
So you know how that's going to turn out. And then there's the next story, and it basically turns into like an Indiana Jones style, like, you know, artifact hunt. And then it turns into the Stardust Chronicle series, which is where the stands come in. And then it turns into like a road trip type thing. And then it goes into the next one, and it's basically like Twin Peaks. And there's the next one, and it's basically a prison break story. And then there's Steel Ball Run, which is basically a sports story that's kind of like the Cannonball Run, but like in the waning days of the Old West. That's about it.
Yeah.
And in between that time, it's filled with incredibly flamboyant, over-the-top characters who are named after a bunch of regular rock bands and songs. Yeah, because why not?
Yeah.
I think that about covers it.
Yeah, that's it. You know? I recommend it. I mean, it's definitely a fun watch, but it definitely doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah. I will say, though, I do understand why this series is so fucking popular in Japan and why it spawned so many goddamn video games.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Yeah, that's about it. So anything we want to add before we move on?
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this is going to be kind of a short one, but it's one that I kind of need to just get out there because I'm still fucking hearing it. Okay. And it is COVID-19 related. So as we know, this particular virus, this particular strain, is believed to have been tracked down and originated in Wuhan in China. Specifically, it's believed to have started in a wet market somewhere in that particular province. And as I've said before, all that a wet market is basically just a place where you get, like, raw meat, seafood, stuff like that. It's just the only thing that's different is that, you know, it's out open in the air, you know. Otherwise, it's like the shit you get in a grocery store, basically.
Yeah. I mean,
for some fucking reason,
at my grocery store, so why not?
Yeah. For some fucking reason, when people hear that term wet market, they get all of these awful ideas in their head because it's China and, you know, the Chinese people sure are different and all that shit.
Yeah, the internet's been unbearable.
It is, unbelievably so. Now, there are a lot of things you can lay at China's feet, well, specifically the Chinese government's feet. The fact that they basically tried to pretend this wasn't happening when people were trying to sound the alarm, they basically did everything to fuck their lives over. And then when they finally did realize that something had hit the fan, they kind of tried to play like, well, we didn't know everything was happening. No, fuck you.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, the one fucking meme that keeps going around that will not fucking die, and I'm going to put it to fucking rest right goddamn now. Okay, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Chinese people do not eat bats. Okay? I don't know how many goddamn times I have to say that. Chinese people do not eat bats.
No one does anymore. I mean, even Aussie cooled it eventually.
Oh my god.
Now, the Chinese will eat a lot of things.
Pangolin, for one.
Very rarely, but not nearly as often as people seem to think, cat and dogs. But not as often as people mm-hmm. seem to think. It's not a regular thing. They will eat pretty much any kind of seafood you can think of. But they do not eat bats. Now, where did this idea of the Chinese people eat bats came from? I'm going to tell you. So, back in 2016, a Chinese news channel were shooting a sort of travel documentary for, like, vacation spots.
Okay.
And what they did was they went to this spot in Papua New Guinea. And because for those who don't know, China's been sort of building up some strategic alliances with the government of Papua New Guinea for the last couple years. And back in 2016, they decided to send, you know, one of their reporters over to New Guinea to see, like, okay, let's see what this place is like, and, you know, what tourists from China could expect if they come here. Now, unlike the people in China, the people in Papua New Guinea do actually eat bats. And there's kind of a reason for that. They don't have a whole lot of other shit they can eat there.
Well, it's usually the only thing that puts rodent on the menu.
Yeah, and usually they have a specific species of bat that they eat there. And it's one that's small enough that you can eat whole. And this woman, you know, she was like, it was like, okay, so we got to eat. He's like, okay, you know, well, and it went in Rome. So they end up serving her a bat to eat. And she's like, well, okay, fuck it, you know. And so she eats it on camera. Now, I want to make clear, this was in 2016, which is about 4 whole fucking years before this shit kicked off.
Yeah.
So This video was basically picked up by the likes of the Daily Mail, Russia Today, and of fucking course, Paul Joseph Watson.
Who's that mofo?
Name rings a bell.
Yeah, I'm just going to let you look it up because I can't fucking stand the guy or his stupid fucking face.
Okay.
Usually if you see some Trump thing trending on Twitter, he's one of the top people on there.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter loves to force those people on you.
Yeah. But if you want more information, you can go here to this article at foreignpolicy.com where they basically tell you, this is not what fucking happened. And that fucking video you're seeing is not what you're thinking about and isn't even from the same time period, you racist pieces of shit. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
All right.
Informative.
Informative. Okay. With that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we must start with our assholes of the week. And we got a bunch of them, folks.
I have this week needed an enema, and I have no idea where to stick the hose.
Well, the states of Alabama, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, Oklahoma, and Texas, their governors and attorney generals have made moves to try and block abortion services during the COVID-19 crisis.
Yep. Yeah, that's listing them as non-essential services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So are the old fucks still going and getting their Viagra from the local pharmacist?
Yes, of course they are. Yeah. You think these people give a shit?
No, they don't. It's so abundantly clear.
They really, really do not.
Yeah, the thing that is typically the arguments for these GOP governors or attorneys general, is that it supposedly frees up personal protective equipment for healthcare workers. Which is like, yeah, those aren't generally being used for that.
They're not even getting it. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, there's someone on Twitter named Dr. Daniel Grossman who's wrote up a nice little thread about this saying, first, of course, abortion is essential healthcare. It's a time-bound procedure that cannot be delayed, particularly in states with medically unnecessary restrictions like state-mandated waiting periods, ultrasound requirements, and gestational limits. Now let's talk about PPE. Texas AG Ken Paxton warned physicians stop providing abortions because the COVID-19 pandemic has increased demands for hospital beds. It's created a shortage of personal protective equipment needed to protect healthcare professionals and stop transmission of the virus. He says here, it is true the pandemic is increasing demand for hospital beds, and most hospitals have canceled non-essential surgeries, but very few abortions in Texas are performed in hospitals. You know, it goes on with more data and all this kind of stuff. And it's like,
and it's also not an inpatient procedure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's, they've tried this shit before in Texas, you know, trying to require, you know, hallways of certain sizes and such that, like, have no effect on what's needed at abortion clinics. It's like, yeah, that kind of shit. And it's like, yeah, they're just taking advantage of the pandemic to try and force this clause about, as a special occasion for the pandemic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Opportunists.
Which is not needed. But, which they also note that, you know, this could be something that potentially could be used for Roe v. Wade if they really want to go that route. Which, you know, is a really shitty way to go about it. Just a bunch of assholes here, and it seems like federal courts are at least right now blocking it.
Yep. Yeah, and of course, if that weren't enough, we've also got that one asshole in Florida who is a preacher who was arrested for holding services during the stay-at-home order.
Yep. Which, you know, if you look on Twitter, I see a lot of people proclaiming that their First Amendment rights are being violated.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. No. You can practice your religion at any point. God doesn't need you to be at church.
Yeah. There's a second one that got arrested somewhere. I don't remember where. Texas, maybe?
Maybe. It's Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. Said he wouldn't close the doors of his Tampa, Florida megachurch until the end times begin. And the police weren't willing to wait that long. they got arrested on Monday. Who's continued to host large church services despite public orders urging residents to stay home to help contain the spread of COVID-19. He's been charged with two counts, unlawful assembly and a violation of health emergency rules, both of second-degree misdemeanors.
You could nail him for reckless endangerment too, couldn't you?
Probably.
Yeah,
but I think that's what they're going for right now. Probably not trying to push for too harsh of a sentence, but trying to find some way to, you know, knock it into these people's heads, you know, stay the fuck home.
We're doing this shit. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So they apparently held two services that day. Had videos on their Facebook page showing it.
Evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that's one way to exploit your congregation, sort of get them sick potentially, because that's been one of the major ways things have been spread. This is people gathering at church before these stay-at-home orders are happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I assume most will do like some sort of stream or phone call sort of service if you need it.
The churches in my town have basically closed until further notice and are basically doing all their services via internet. So, yeah.
Yeah.
See, for the record, I just want to make it clear, the vast majority of religious groups and, you know, religious institutions in the United States have been taking this shit very seriously.
Oh, yeah, they're in compliance completely.
But there is a small group of assholes who, well, it's symptomatic of a wider problem in this country.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Well, if you don't have a very charitable way of putting it. Donors are a mega church, then it's a business. So.
Yeah, that's evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Who are a separate breed of crazy people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they are.
But we do have, to wipe the taste out of our mouths, we've got heroes of the week. And hero of this week is all of us. Society. Collectively, all of us. Because this year, we all agreed that April Fool's Day is bullshit.
Yep. For the most part.
And anyone who did not adhere to that got some considerable backlash.
Yeah.
And I love every minute of it.
Including now, we want to make clear... Of all people.
Yeah. Now, we want to make it clear that doesn't mean that everybody didn't have April Fool's Day jokes. You know, if they were on YouTube and did, like, a funny video or, like, Game Informer, they came out with Game Enfarcer like they do every year. But see, there's a big difference between that shit and the shit that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. See, that shit is expected. And it's usually so insane that most people can figure out that it's supposed to be. Yeah. That's not the type of shit we're talking about. Unfortunately, none of that type of shit actually happened this year. Well, mostly. There was like one or two, and those who did do it got on blast. So,
I think it's nice that, you know, in this time where we're living through like fake news being a thing, we've just kind of decided that a day where everybody does fake news is really not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, the world has brought us all together, and it's made us realize that the human race is fucking doomed. But anyway, so before we move on to the rest of the show, unfortunately, because we knew that COVID-19 was going to take a big fucking chunk out of the entertainment industry by the time this was all over, and we got a big one this week, folks. Rest in peace, Adam Schlesinger.
Yep, he's one of the leads of Fountains of Wayne.
Yep.
Yeah. He's also done a lot of work on movies and TV shows, particularly if you know That Thing You Do.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote that song.
Yep.
He's also written music for other movies. Let's try to see if there's any examples of that here. But yeah, everybody knows Fountains of Wayne for Stacey's Mom.
Mm-hmm.
That was their big song, but they had other good work. I saw another good article from Rolling Stone. She's like, here's 20 great songs that this guy's written.
Mm-hmm.
It's all YouTube videos, so just, you know, go through, play them one by one, enjoy his style.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff. Like, I think they were talking to like one of the other band members, like, yeah, if the song's about New Jersey, it's one of his songs. He likes to write a lot about, you know, growing up in New Jersey, that kind of thing. But yeah, he's considered one of the best songwriters in the business. And lost a big one.
Yeah, it's quite sad.
Yeah, and prepare yourselves because he's probably not going to be the first.
Yeah.
No.
There's a lot of smaller ones out there. Or people that were big in their niche.
Yeah.
But may not necessarily be popular in the general consciousness.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Are you ready for it? We're backing it up, folks. Here comes the COVID-19 truck.
Also, he was only 52.
Hmm. Yeah, that's...
Still very young.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Teresa knows there's an infant that passed away with COVID-19 recently. So it's not as age specific as people want to act like.
Yeah.
No. Apparently not.
No. And it does kind of have a tendency to hang around in the air for a while.
Yeah, apparently. I saw there was a choir that was doing their thing, like a good 40, 50, 60 people. And they found out, oh yeah, when you have a bunch of people singing next to each other, it's very easy to spread it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's bad to be in big groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, here it is, folks. We're backing it up, the COVID-19 dump truck. And started off
a load than last week, at least.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, that much is actually good. It's not. But here we go. So, worldwide cases officially topped 1 million this week.
Yep. 56,000 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And this CNN tracker can show you, like, here's where the big ones are at.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the United States goes from small to the biggest pretty quickly.
Yep.
Because it's like, you know, like the worst thing we have here is fucking states' rights bullshit.
Mm.
It's 50 separate states run by 50 governors who,
mm-hmm.
all of which think they're the smartest person in the world, even if they're the dumbest. Brandon, we'll talk about your example here in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yes, I will.
We can't have a coordinated thing here.
A lot of people are not understanding the different levels of government. There is a city near us who has said we are sheltering in place already through May 30th. Mm-hmm. The city of Aurora has already said that in Illinois. And everybody seems to think that, well, they're breaking the law because the president said. It's like, no, bitches.
They're doing it because he's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
and because it needs to be done.
I think North Carolina refused to do it, and so the county that Charlotte was in had to put it their own in.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where it has to happen at some point.
All right.
Can
so
you point out that China has pretty much plateaued?
Yeah, or at least, I mean, I want to believe them.
Not telling anybody? We don't
know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for right now, I'm operating on the idea that they're telling the truth.
Yeah.
But preparing for the fact that they could be lying.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, apparently there's plateaued, and they have pretty much no new cases, really.
Well, when they did start to take it seriously, they took it seriously.
Oh yeah.
China, when they go on lockdown, they basically go full on no fucking scruples at all.
Mm.
It's just like, straight up, we are locking this shit down. You are going to stay in your goddamn house, and if you come out, we will shoot you.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've got all sorts of effective ways to do that.
Yeah. And, I mean, credit's where it's due. It did work, apparently.
Yeah, the thing I didn't notice is how far ahead we are in cases.
Mm-hmm.
I knew we were number one, but we are more than the sum of the next two countries.
Yeah.
We're almost at 260,000. Italy's at 119. Yeah, and Spain is 117. Yeah. Mm. And it's like, okay, we're... This is what exponential curves are.
Yeah.
The it takes less and less time to get to the next highest number.
Yeah.
And that's because you have not done enough to contain this shit.
277, 828 as of today.
Yeah.
Insane.
All right.
At some point, we'll have more cases just in the U.S. than the rest of the world.
Probably. Yep.
Seems like that's where it's going to head.
Hmm.
And that will be a great indictment of the healthcare system here and the management's
competence
of the country. Yeah.
All right. So for now, basically the only adult in the room is Dr. Fauci, who has basically been the major guy on infectious diseases in the United States government, basically since the Reagan administration. The fact that he's basically lasted this whole time shows you how good and respected he is.
Yep.
Despite Trump's wishes.
Yeah. And he has basically told us that we could possibly reach 100,000 to 200,000 deaths.
Which, yeah, that's...
Trump's response to that was not encouraging.
No, but basically what Fauci says is like, look, this is kind of what we're looking at. As it is now. And the United States has about 300 million people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a substantial amount of people.
Yeah.
It's annoying when people try to be reductive and say, oh, it's only 1 or 2%. It's like 1 or 2% of 330 million is... 3 million, 6 million people. That's
yeah,
a lot of souls.
Bigger than most of the cities in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like half. That would be like half of the deaths in the Holocaust. Mm. Just to
yeah. So far, we have like 6,000 deaths, I think, somewhere right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's twice what happened in 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people were lost in 9/11.
Just
because it's being spread out doesn't mean it's not.
Like, actually, I think it's more like 2.5, because I think that 9/11, wasn't it like 2,000 people?
I think it was 3,100.
Ah, I gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then because Donald Trump had to poke his fucking ass into it, he's like, yeah, I consider that a win.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's thinking about it as a campaign point.
Yeah.
He even fucking said so, responding to a question about the Easter thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, I think some people in the media want these people to die because it'll help defeat me in the polls. And it's like, nobody fucking gives a shit about the polls right now.
Yeah.
Jonathan said this, like, somehow there's something's come along that's more toxic and deadly than he is, and he's got stage envy.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, look at it this way. Pretty much all the primaries up to that for now have been postponed until June. Okay. Joe Biden has basically put himself in lockdown and has rarely shown himself since.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is what everyone's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what Bernie's doing is just fine because it's all video feed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, he's still...
But see, here's the thing. He always does stuff like that. That isn't campaign specific. He's been doing that stuff since the 2016 election. So that's not out of the ordinary for him. And yet, Trump still... It all finds its way back to him somehow.
Hmm.
Yeah. And now my favorite topic of the week. Okay, so... Like I said earlier... as of 6 a.m. this morning, we are now officially in shelter in place here in Georgia. And we probably could have done that statewide much earlier.
Yeah.
Probably late February or early March. But Governor Brian Kemp basically did everything he could to resist that happening. And because of that, basically a bunch of other of the cities had sort of had to take the initiative and, you know, have themselves go on lockdown. And then Governor Kemp, when he came out to actually announce the shelter-in-place order, I think this was last night.
Or was it the couple days?
Yeah. He basically said, look, the fact that asymptomatic people could spread it, we only found out about that in the last 24 hours.
Is he lying?
He's lying.
Liar. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking lying. He is lying through his goddamn teeth.
That's a terrible thing to lie about. Yeah. Like, the CDC said this weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying you were paying attention to the
state.
Yeah. And the reason he's lying is because he's trying to make excuses to cover his ass for why he hasn't done this earlier.
I'm just a fucking moron.
Yeah, like, you guys saw that map I showed you earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. We now have just a goddamn huge amount of people getting sick and dying in this state. And he's got fucking blood on his hands.
Yeah.
Also, I want to remind people, he fucking stole his election.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
He fucking deleted a bunch of fucking votes so that he could become governor. So I didn't have any fucking respect for him to begin with.
No.
And now it just went fucking deeper. And I would like to think that this would cost him his election.
But he's got an R by his name.
This is Georgia. Mm-hmm. So we'll fucking see. But yes, yeah. He is lying through his goddamn teeth. Do not believe him for a second. Speaking of liars who are lying through their goddamn teeth, Donald Trump went on TV and basically for all of these fucking briefs that they've been having, these COVID-19 virus task force briefs that they give every day, he's basically been obsessing.
Trump rallies.
Yeah. And you say that, but that's actually pretty accurate because he can't really go out and do those rallies right now. So he's basically reduced to having to sort of do these mini rallies at these briefings.
Yeah.
And because of that, we get to see every goddamn day just how much of an asshole he really is. So case in point, this week he basically was obsessing about his ratings.
Again.
Yeah.
Pulling this out of a New York Times article that then was slamming him after that. He was just ignoring the parts that was critical of him. This is in the very beginning of the article. It says, President Trump is a ratings hit, and some journalists and public health experts say that could be a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he just went around it to tweet out, because the ratings of my news conferences, etc., are so high, Bachelor finale, Monday Night Football type numbers, according to the ad New York Times, the lamestream media is going crazy, all caps on the crazy. Trump is reaching too many people. We must stop him, said one lunatic. See you at 5 p.m. President Trump is a ratings hit since reviving the daily White House briefing. Mr. Trump and his coronavirus updates have attracted, on average, an audience of 8.5 million on cable news.
Yeah, the reason they're doing that is because they're waiting if they're going to fucking die. Yeah.
Right. They don't give a goddamn about him.
Yeah.
Narcissistic. I mean, if nothing else has convinced people that he is one, that right there.
I was going to say, that can't be a question, can it?
It's malignant narcissism. It's clinical, and he fucking has it.
Yeah, and John Oliver had a good point on his most reason. It's like, we actually want him to do the right thing. We actually want him to do well here because that means people's lives will be saved.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's turned this global pandemic to being about him. And that's the dangerous part of it. It's all about him. in his shows and not getting people the actual help they need.
And I can tell you, his followers, you might think like they're all lockstep in this, but my mom and dad, both of whom were Trump voters and who are both big supporters of his, I've been hearing them argue about this shit.
Really?
Yeah, while they're watching those briefings. Because apparently my dad started picking up on the fact that, wow, this guy's actually making this a lot about him and not about the actual virus.
Yeah.
My mom doesn't want to hear it.
About people who are suffering. I mean, the ones who aren't even making it to the hospital because they're not bad enough. You know, I've been reading some accounts of this. These people, a lot of them are miserable.
Yeah, they are.
They're doing really poorly.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what's a hell of a drug?
Hmm?
Hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hate is a drug.
Sadly, you're right.
Yeah.
I wish it weren't so.
And when all you got around, it's like basically being a heroin addict who's gone stone cold turkey, and the only thing you've got around you is more heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of insanity, this one guy who was a train engineer tried to ram that hospital ship at the LA port.
Yeah.
Because
Mercy, I believe it's called.
Yeah, because I think he's falling into that whole conspiracy theory of the fact that the hospitals are actually empty. Or some shit like that.
He's definitely fallen down some rabbit hole that's really bad.
Yeah.
And miraculously, nobody was hurt.
Nope.
And the train stopped about 250 yards short of hitting the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's fucked up a lot of things for my husband's job because the port operations, which are already strained to begin with, because, you know, whenever people are tested positive there, they've got to close everything down, disinfect, and then reopen. You know, this is even more strain on an already very stressed port, and a very busy port, too.
And that must have been a hell of a phone call, too.
Right? Yeah, Scott saw it on the news. He's like, oh, shit, tomorrow's going to be fun.
This doesn't seem like an efficient way to try to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know,
a vehicle that's confined to tracks to go off those tracks into the water.
And he's probably not a paragon of intelligence, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
Which is scary for somebody that's in charge of that kind of vehicle.
Which is why I suddenly thought, wait, how the fuck did he ram a train into a boat?
He intentionally missed one of his switches.
Oh. Well, yeah, considering how big trains are and how much they weigh and, like, you know, an object in motion stays in motion. Yeah, I can see how he did that.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, because I completely skipped my mind. The shelter-in-place order we've got here in Georgia, you know how long it lasts?
God, please tell me it's through the end of the month.
The 13th.
Oh, until Easter Monday, that's good.
Yep.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
No. Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's good radio.
Yeah, and besides, I fucking support whatever it is you're fixing to say. He's a goddamn moron.
What's the fucking point? I mean, it's for what, 10 days?
I imagine it has to be some sort of PR thing like, oh, this will potentially be over soon, but then they can delay it another 2 weeks.
Well, I actually
did
something. Like, no.
I actually do fully expect it to get extended into the rest of April.
It fucking better.
But for right now, that's what we're looking at.
10 days.
Yeah.
This will be fun to see what Easter looks like. Because, like, nobody's going to have parties or anything. Hopefully not. And also, I've been seeing displays for, like, Easter baskets. Like,
nope.
Nothing. None of this shit's
selling.
That's not going
to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Maybe the bags of, like, the Reese's eggs, like, that stuff will go.
Oh, yeah.
As at least mostly edible.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, some of the shit's in these bags.
Oh, the here's will definitely sell.
I saw things like, oh, here's like literal just sugar you dip your shit into to make it even sweeter.
Yeah.
Like, I just stay home, just tell them to do that with a bag of sugar.
Yeah. Next up, story. The U.S. Navy commander who sounded the alarm on the outbreak on his ship, he was removed from command.
What a bullshit thing. I mean, he was doing the right thing, looking out for his crew.
And as he was officially relieved of command and escorted off the ship, it was to a round of supportive cheers from his crew.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we know you didn't do nothing wrong.
Yep. Because we know ships are one of the worst places to be for these things, because they're just giant petri dishes. And yeah, he wrote a memo warning Navy leadership that decisive action was needed to save the lives of the ship's crew. The ship is the USS Roosevelt. And he was relieved of command by Carrier Strike Group Commander Rear Admiral Stuart Baker on Thursday, saying that he showed extremely poor judgment, created a firestorm by too widely disseminating a memo detailing his concerns, copying to some 20 to 30 people. I was like, apparently going, not going
Jesus
wide
Christ, how are they going to cover it up now?
Yeah. Because I think he eventually got to write something for, or got published in the San Francisco Chronicle. Which is where they probably actually noticed what was going on. And it's like, yeah, it seems like they couldn't get your attention the first time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Well, I mean, no on the... like,
has ever been solved by people shutting up about it.
On the Johns Hopkins University site, when they list out the states and the territories for the U.S., the frickin' Diamond Princess cruise ship is mentioned there as its own listing. You guys aren't even kidding when you say that the ship is a horrible place to be with coronavirus or with anything.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you have these cruise ships where none of those people are, you know, health experts in any way.
No.
So they're literally just, hey, let's just put all the people in one room because that'll be the best way to make all this better. It's when you combine capitalism with health that's like these people are just doing what they're told, which is by people that don't know what they're doing, and they just make things way worse.
Yeah.
Instead of telling people like, hey, stay in your rooms. You know, we'll help clean what we can. We'll bring food to you, but don't fucking put all the people together.
Right.
That's the stupidest way you can do things.
If anything, this pandemic has shown that libertarianism is bullshit.
Yeah. Well, libertarians aren't going to see it that way.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, no, sadly. I watched the two on my Facebook feed and still...
But yeah, so they've quarantined 1,273 of the ship's roughly 4,800 crew members so far in hotel rooms in Guam as they're trying to get all of them tested, but still waiting tests, results of some of those tests. But yeah, about 1,000 have been evacuated, and they expect to have 2,700 off the ship. Yeah, it seems like he did the right thing because they might still have people not infected by the end of this.
And no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
Speaking of ships, the U.S. Navy hospital ship arrived at New York City to help treat non-COVID-19 patients.
Yeah.
USNS Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Which the only issue is that there's not that many people that need care. So there's only about 20 patients on it.
Yeah.
So I think they're looking to find a way to treat coronavirus people on there.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for this kind of thing, these are stocked with medical experts.
Yeah.
The people you actually want on the ship.
Yeah.
So they won't do things like, let's just put them all together and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no protection or anything. Right. But yeah, so they're getting more people in real estate there in New York to help hopefully stem the tide at some point, but still looking pretty bad for the time being.
God, it does.
All right. Next up, a record number of people filed for unemployment last week. That number, 6.6 million people.
Double in what we had the week before. Week.
Yes, in a week.
So it's about 10 million people.
Yeah.
Total. In the last 2 weeks.
That's really sad.
The highest record was 695,000 in 1982.
Shit.
So that's 10 times in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great indictment for how good this economy is going to be for the next 6 to 12 months. Because you look at the early hours of when it's open, and it's like, all right, it's a complete gamble. It's going to either go way up for a day or way down.
And then about 10 seconds later, they nope out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I was looking at the one stock I have, and I look back, I can look at like the 6 months and be like, oh yeah, here's where the coronavirus hits, because it starts from like a relatively contained, you know, series of scribbles to like the, like you're on a lie detector test and you just look into a line just going,
it's going
constantly up and down. It's like one is like, oh shit, it lost a bunch. Oh, it gained a bunch. Oh, it's kind of roughly the same, but it's the
ups and downs
are way spikier.
I
like the charts for this whole the filings, because it's like, oh, here's numbers all super low. Then 1 week it's just like all the way up to the top,
because
it's a complete straight line up.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I do love how Trump is trying to like glance around this whole issue.
But then there's also going in the complete opposite direction, which is what happened in Hungary, because of the COVID-19 crisis bill, Parliament has essentially given up all of its powers and given it to the current prime minister, which essentially makes him the dictator of Hungary.
Yep, Viktor Orban.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say mob rule.
Nope.
Like, have they watched Star Wars prequels?
This usually doesn't end well.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, let's see. They voted 137 to 53 to pass the measure, which has some good relief stuff, but also Parliament essentially is suspended.
Washing its hands.
Essentially gives Orban infinite powers to do what needs to be done, and no time limit or sunset clause on this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we tell you to wash your fucking hands, that isn't what we're talking about.
And it also includes jail terms of up to 5 years for intentionally spreading misinformation that hinders the government response to the pandemic, which could easily be retrofitted to punish people that are criticizing them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and yeah, this it's not. This guy's been on like a watch list for the EU
of
dictator stuff, but also this happened so fast that they've also been so busy that they basically said, like, well, this is too late for us to do anything here.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
I mean, if it goes tits up, they could always drone him into a fine paste, but...
Yeah. Speaking of assholes, by the way, Hobby Lobby.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
These dudes.
Yeah. So you might have heard last week, they had tried to very quietly reopen some of their stores. For the record, as soon as it happened, there were various Good Samaritans all over the country who immediately notified the authorities.
Yeah.
Who told them to go and shut that shit down.
So you remember the reason why they wanted to stay open?
Yeah, tell them.
So the CEO... who runs it? His wife, I guess, while sleeping, got a message from God that they need to keep the stores open.
the prayer warrior of the family.
Oh, the message there is that she needs to get back on her medication.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hobby Lobby are very much a religious organization.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're very fringe too, the owners. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
They do not represent, by and large, America's religious population.
Hmm.
They also are involved in things like the illegal trade of black market antiquities.
Yes.
Or inadvertently funding terrorists.
Yeah.
They are involved in a lot of awful shit.
But they truly are.
This week, they finally...
They're also dominionists, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And then they finally decided, all right, we're going to shut down all of our stores. And then they furloughed all their employees and refused to pay them.
Yeah, they furloughed nearly all store employees without pay and are ending emergency leave pay, suspending use of company-provided paid time off benefits and vacation.
And they're firing people en masse via email.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. Yeah. That's kind of important.
Yeah, so they... Let's see... Their statement is, as the country continues efforts to manage and mitigate the devastating health and economic impacts of COVID-19 virus, Hobby Lobby will, after careful consideration, it's not really careful, close the remainder of its stores and furlough nearly all store employees and a large portion of corporate and distribution employees, effective Friday, April 3rd at 8 p.m. The stores will remain closed until further notice, but... the writer here managed to speak to three employees on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution. Managers of the stores called teams into a meeting to deliver the news on Friday afternoon. They say the line our manager gave us was the employees got what the employees wanted. The stores were closed. Hobby Lobby employee in Indiana said, my question was, did God tell them they need to close the stores and not pay us?
Yeah, their financial God.
That's funny. they're bad people. Very bad people.
They really are. Everybody's been, boycott Hobby Lobby. Dudes, we've been doing this for like 13, 15 years now. When they started trying to tell their female employees what they could and couldn't do with their body. Yeah. And what birth control was and wasn't approved, which, you know, was none of it.
Also, I'm pretty sure there's really nothing of value in Hobby Lobby anyway.
Oh, my God. Oh, it is just...
a bunch of other craft stores if you need that.
Yeah.
And it's all the same shit. I mean, it's disgusting. I used to go to places like
that. How did they
even
make a profit?
I know, they're like...
Are they, like, involved in, like, money laundering or some kind of shit? Because...
No, they're involved... I think they're involved in, like, the HGTVing of indoor decor. It's like fast fashion.
Oh.
So you buy this stupid live, laugh, love sign, and 2 months later, you gotta buy a fucking other one because there's another one in style. And people are falling for this shit. Hook, line, and goddamn sinker, and it's not just that.
I'm sure it's the people that want like a craft store with a religious bent to it.
There's that too, but then it's just a lot of decorating stuff, not so much craft stuff. And, you know, because you have to have a different fucking tea towel for your kitchen every fucking week or something? No! Mm-hmm. This stuff is horrible.
So are they the Beyond section of Bed Bath & Beyond?
Yeah.
It's just a religious beyond hell.
Well, like, it's so America because it's so extra.
Yeah.
Just, there's no other way to put it.
We can't just sell you yarn and things of fabric. It's got
to
be
you lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally is. And people are walking out of there with, like, 4 and 5 huge bags filled with made in China shit, sweatshops, and garbage that's going to clog up our landfills. It's
and a head full of dopamine.
It's sickening. And, you know, they're like, they're wasting all their money on this shit too, and they're wasting all their gas, and then they're too tired to go home and cook a nutritious meal, so they fucking go out to eat. It's just, It's so extra. Sorry.
No, you're absolutely in the right.
Well, it's disgusting.
Yeah. But there are some good things that have happened because of the COVID-19 virus, specifically environmental. If you haven't noticed lately, emissions have basically plummeted over the last month. There's, pretty much. And amongst other things, the world is not vibrating as much as it usually does.
Up here it is.
Yeah.
Bite your tongue.
Oh, is it fucking Idaho with their earthquake this week or something?
Utah.
We felt that down here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, well.
No, there was like a 6.7 or something in Boise.
Jeez.
Yeah, Scott said something about it. I said, well, at least it's taking a little bit of pressure off of that super volcano in Yellowstone. He's like, that's in another state. And I'm like, same fucking difference, on a geological scale.
How small does he think the plates are?
Yeah.
These aren't dinner plates. These are the size of entire countries. Wow. These are ambient seismic noise vibration. A lot of places, especially in Europe, have seen huge drops. Brussels seen about 30 to 50% reduction in ambient seismic noise. It's mid-March, around the time the country started implementing school and business closures and other social distancing measures. Because things like buses, trains, and cars are not on the roads as nearly as much, which means seismologists who have tools to measure potential events, now they can actually detect way more sensitive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot less noise going on around them.
Yep.
Which is at least good for the short term.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually things will get back to normal, but... it's kind of one of the weird side effects of this whole thing. Is like there's a lot less traffic that is just causing havoc for these kinds of tools.
All right.
But this seems to show that people are generally heeding the lockdown measures.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Yeah. I take it back. The human race isn't doomed. Most people are smart enough to realize what they have to do.
Well, Google has been analyzing some of the data from people who voluntarily have location services on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And my phone thinks that I'm talking to it. I didn't say, hey, Google, shush, phone, shush. They're typing everything I'm saying. And in places like Italy and France and stuff, they've had a 90-something% reduction in people out and about. And in states where quarantines are in effect, we've had some good ones here, like 60, close to 69% reduction in people moving around. But then there was one really shitty one. I believe it was Arkansas, and they only had like a 20% reduction.
That's pretty on the mark for Arkansas, I think.
Yeah. But I think that's going to be really interesting to look at after this is said and done. That kind of data and who did a good job and who didn't do a good job.
Anyway. All right, so that's it for the COVID-19 dump truck this week. Stay tuned next week when we'll have to back it back up again.
Oh, well, that'll be fun, too.
Yeah. Anyway, so we still got a few more stories to go through. We'll try and kind of go through these at a sort of brisk pace. I'm going to go ahead and just combine these two. We got a couple news from NASA. First on, we found out they're working on a new mission so that they can study the causes of giant solar particle storms, which is definitely something we're going to need because that shit affects, satellite signals and stuff.
Yeah,
so
it is relevant to our interests.
Yeah. And they've also revealed plans for creating a base camp on the moon sometime beyond 2024. They're going to call it Artemis.
Yeah, so the first thing, their mission has a fun little name called Sun Radio Interferometer Space Experiment, or SunRISE. It's an array of 6 CubeSats, cube satellites operating as one very large radio telescope, and they've awarded a $62.6 million grant for design, build, launching of this thing by July 1st, 2023. It's an 11-month mission, concept study. Yeah, they're working on that. So that'd be pretty cool. Like each of those CubeSats are about the size of a toaster oven.
Mm-hmm.
So not even super big for that. But yeah, the Artemis base is a thing that they just submitted their plan for this yesterday.
Hope they got in touch with Andy Weir because I think he's got this.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book about it.
Yeah. So yeah, to the National Space Council, which. An advisory group to Trump, chaired by Pence, you know, the smartest people you want in charge of science stuff. But yeah, they have a plan laid out for justifying accomplishing the 2024 moon landing, but also looks further out to focus on what a long-term presence on the moon and lunar orbit would permit the U.S. to accomplish. Because we've had the ISS go on for about 20 years now. And so they're kind of looking like what's the next sort of sustained mission they want to work on. And yeah, there's a bunch of information here if you want to read it. But they got a lot of cool stuff in the works.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Apple has acquired the popular Weber app API Dark Sky and is shutting down the Android version.
And has pissed off everybody in the process.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of other apps that use that API for their own. Mm-hmm. Information. So they're basically saying, like, all right, everybody, we bought this, get the fuck out. We don't need you anymore.
That's the most Apple thing that possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, the Android version, I think, is supposed to be taken down by July 1st. The API will continue to work until the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some time for people to figure out what they're going to do for their data.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to All About Android this week, and like they were talking about this, and Florence Ion basically took this like an attack on her family. and I don't think she's wrong.
Weather has that effect on people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like this is definitely where you can see the difference between Apple and Google. Because Google puts most of their services on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, we'd like you people to see the cool stuff we can do. And hey, maybe if you want to just come to Android where that stuff's more integrated.
Yeah.
You know.
Or if you stay over there because you're invested in that ecosystem, they're cool with that too.
Yeah. You can see how much better Google Maps is than Apple Maps.
Mm.
And all this
oh,
other
God.
Stuff.
Nobody using Apple uses Apple Maps.
No,
we're using Google Maps.
Low sophisticated users will still use. They don't download apps.
They're that dedicated.
Hmm.
Oh my God. Are there people really like that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There are people that don't want to leave the Apple ecosystem
they'll
for
use
anything.
Apple Mail, Apple Stocks, Apple, Apple Podcasts, all of that stuff. If it's not provided by Apple, they won't use it.
Sacrifice their children to an Apple altar, to
I
Apple
mean, I
God,
like,
Steve Jobs.
I like Apple Mail. It's not bad. I mean, for an integrated one, it's not bad. I'll give them that, but on the rest of it.
All right. Let's see. Sony Pictures is delaying pretty much everything to 2021.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so they got... let's see here. Ghostbusters Afterlife moved from July 10th to March 5th next year. Morbius pushed from July 31st to March 19th next year. The Uncharted movie that was just going to start going into production here was moved from March 5th next year to October 8th in 2021. Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, was moved from August 7th to January 15th. And an untitled Sony/Marvel movie was delayed from October 8th next year to some unknown dates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's also their Kevin Hart drama Fatherhood moved up to October 23rd from January 15th. So that's the only one that's moved up.
Mm.
But the Tom Hanks World War II drama Greyhound was taken off the schedule indefinitely from its June release. So,
I mean... Yeah,
Yeah. I guess also like Warner Brothers pushed Wonder Woman from August 14th to June 5th next year.
Yep.
Or no, to August 14th from June 5th. So only about 2 months, but In the Heights that Warner Brothers was doing was indefinitely pulled. That was going to be out June 26th. As well as Scoob, the animated film based on Scooby-Doo. Yeah. That was set for May 15th, was also pushed indefinitely.
Yeah. This also affects their television division, too, because they did the same thing.
Yeah.
And that really irritates me, because their television division is doing the Wheel of Time for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
That was supposed to be early 2021, but now they said, we don't know.
And
now it's maybe 2021.
And Disney is basically doing the same thing.
Yeah, so let's see if I can find the dates here. They moved Black Widow, which was going to be in May, it's going to be moved to November 6th, taking over where the Eternals was going to be at. This is like pushed a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe back a bit. So the Eternals is going to be on February 12th now. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is May 7th, 2021. Doctor Strange 2 is November 5th, 2021. Thor: Love and Thunder is February 18th, 2022. Black Panther 2 is now May 6th, 2022. And Captain Marvel 2 is July 8th, 2022.
Yeah. Assuming theaters still exist by then.
Yeah.
I could actually see them just holding the schedule in place from some point and putting everything on Disney Plus.
Maybe, but those are movies that can do upwards of $1 billion just at box office. And Disney will want those. They'll move stuff they don't expect to do well to Disney Plus, but anything else, they're going to want to maximize their profit to make up for what they're losing right now.
Plus, let's be honest, if they were to put those big Marvel movies day and date on Disney Plus, their servers would just melt down into a puddle of slag.
That's true. They have to afford the servers first.
So Soul, the Pixar movie, was going to be out June 19th. They have not moved it yet. Mulan was pushed to July 24th this year. That hasn't been changed yet. Jungle Cruise got pushed from July 20th to July 24th to July 20th, 2021. Indiana Jones 5 was set for summer next year to July 29th, 2022. Let's see, Artemis Fowl, the adaptation of the book, was going to be out May 29th. It's instead going to debut on Disney Plus. Suggesting that they probably did not think there was going to be too much to get out of that for the response I've seen. It's not particularly great from the people that like the books. Let's see. Yeah, they're keeping dates for West Side Story, December 18th, and The Last Duel, December 25th for this fall. Let's see. Ryan Reynolds' Free Guy movie, which is the one that's kind of like GTA. They moved that from July 3rd to December 11th. Wes Anderson's The French Dispatch from Searchlight shifted from July 24th to October 16th. And the New Mutants, Woman in the Window, Antlers, and The Personal History of David Copperfield were delayed indefinitely a while back, and those still don't have dates. Seems like Disney is not being as aggressive with their new dates like Sony is. They're kind of like, we're banking on some of this stuff to come out this fall, that things will be back to normal, and that's a definitely different kind of aggressive. Banking on it'll be interesting to see how that stuff goes, because it's not just opening up the theaters, but the people that were working there, do they actually come back, or do they find new work?
Say hell to the no.
It's not like those are high-paying jobs.
Yeah.
They could easily go to retail and maybe get paid more. So it'll be like, well, maybe they'll have to do a lot of hiring and getting people to do that stuff. Not that it's too complicated of a job, but still, that's a lot to do.
Next up, another delay, ESPN. They're moving their 10-part Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, to April 19.
Yeah, this is moving it up to take advantage of people not having anything to do.
Yep.
For the time being, so this is just a documentary about Michael Jordan's last season with the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
One that people have been looking forward to, and they'll get to. I don't know if they're going to put it all out at once.
Was this the season he was with the Bulls before he went into baseball?
No, this is 98, I think it is, that last season.
Gotcha.
This is not the Space Jam year. Yeah, 10 parts. It was originally set to come out in June. It'll be on Netflix, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any details about how it's being. I assume it's coming out all at once. Who knows? We'll find out.
All right.
I would hope so. People want to binge stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I saw that Disney Plus came out in Europe, and people were like, oh, I can check out The Mandalorian. And they're putting it up one episode a week.
Mm-hmm.
People are not happy about that. It's like, oh, you survived the spoilers, and now you can't even watch the whole thing.
But it's all available here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get yourself a VPN, folks.
Yeah, Disney does not care about the fact that the internet is all over the world.
Yeah. Speaking of binging stuff, HBO is basically just letting a bunch of their stuff out of the gate to just watch free this weekend and beyond.
Yeah, this is on, I guess, HBO Now and Go?
Yep.
They have a number of things up there. To watch for free. Let's see, for shows, they have Ballers, Barry, Silicon Valley, 6 Feet Under, The Sopranos, Succession, True Blood, Veep, and The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one of those people who's like, oh, I don't have time for The Wire, like, now you have time. let's see, documentaries, they have The Apollo, The Case Against Adnan Syed, Elvis Presley, The Searcher, The Inventor, Jane Fonda in 5X, I Love You, Now Die, McMillions. I think that's supposed to be the...
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's the one about the big scam with the McDonald's Monopoly
Rick
thing.
And, yeah, the McDonald's brothers.
Yeah. True Justice, United Skates, and We Are the Dream. And they're also going to have about 20 Warner Brothers movies on there, including Isn't It Romantic, The Lego Movie 2, Smallfoot, and Pokemon Detective Pikachu. So all if you need some extra stuff there, this is kind of like what TV used to be like back in the 90s, where they occasionally some of those premium channels are like, oh, we're going to let you watch for free.
Yeah, free previews.
Yeah. Everybody like pull out their blank VHS tapes to tape as much as they could.
Yeah.
You can kind of do that here if you want, if you have the right tools.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... There's a lot of different services doing this kind of stuff, too.
NHL.tv is free for a limited time. You can go back and watch pretty much the entire NHL season up to this point.
This is up to the end of the season?
Well, up to where it left off.
Yeah.
They sound hell-bent on resuming play and awarding the Stanley Cup. So,
yeah.
It'll just have people play NHL 20 or 21.
Well, no, I mean, the NHL has said we will be on the ice in August if we have to be.
The NFL's doing something similar. Their NFL Game Pass is free right now until May 31st, which gets you can watch almost every game from the 2009 season to 2019. Which is a lot, and I'm also confused why it's arbitrarily from that point on. So I would like to watch some stuff from the early 2000s, that kind of stuff. But the problem is the Roku TV app is shit. It just takes so long to load anything. And I've had times where I'm trying to load into the next game I want to watch, and it's playing something else in the background while I'm doing this, and I'm like, no, I don't want to listen to any of this podcast shit that's on here. And I'm like, oh, God, so I have to use the website to be a bit better. And then it's like, oh, this random game this week is not playable for some reason. But they do
local
have a
local blackout.
No, it's, I guess just there's something going on. I don't know why. It's just random ones.
Yeah.
But they do have a cool thing where they let you turn off the score so you can have a little bit of surprise going into it. NBA has a similar thing with their Game Pass. You can watch some stuff, I think, from the past two seasons, I think.
Mm-hmm.
MLB has something similar as well. I think you can watch the last two seasons as well. Mm-hmm. But their app does not have it. You have to do it through the site. If you just go to the app, it just tells you, shows you all the games that are not being played. It shows you the schedule that's not being played. Like, well, this is a useful app. There's no way to watch back catalog stuff there. So yeah, some of the sports stuff's doing a lot of cool stuff there. I know the local channel that's the Cleveland Indians airs on. They're playing classic games like every night. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Altitude's been doing that with the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. I think they were playing like the 1981 All-Star game. That was in Cleveland. So it's like, all right, that's weird, but sure. They're also like reporting on it on their Twitter account like it's an actual game that's going on. Which is
okay, that's just corny.
Yeah. But I think CBS All Access is also doing like a special thing where you have to look it up. There's like a code you use to sign up to get a free 30 days, and then there's another code you enter and after that to get another 30 days. So you get 2 months for free for signing up.
Oh.
So there's some of these services are doing some pretty cool stuff. Like I saw Disney Plus, is like, we got a 7-day trial. Good luck. It's like, yeah. They just know, like, we're Disney. You're going to pay us anyway for our stuff. So, yeah, there's some good stuff that some of the services are doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, go away.
No, I'm still here. Sorry. I accidentally – I put it on mute because my bird was making noise. But, yeah, so NFL, their new playoff expansion includes playoff games airing on Nickelodeon and Peacock. So,
yeah. They're expanding to 14 teams. This upcoming season, they'll have one game that airs on Nickelodeon. It's not the only way it's going to air. So people are freaking out. Like, oh, my team's going to finally make the playoffs and it'll be on fucking Nickelodeon. It's like, no, it's not the only way. It's because they want to – I don't know why it would be all that different from – kids watching on Fox or CBS or whatever, but maybe less alcohol ads, mm-hmm. I guess. But then it'll also be on Peacock, which is a weird it's NBC Universal streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be out at some point this year. I don't think I've heard any definitive dates on that.
They're probably glad they haven't committed to anything yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And that's it. Yeah. We got ourselves a show, folks. A 2.5-hour one.
Woof.
Making the most of that quarantine time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, or something you'd like us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We'll have it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, well, you're not going anywhere. Just wait a while.
Yeah.
No? Like, what are you going to do? Shop?
Sorry.
Yeah. And with that, we will put a pin on this one. Join us next week when we have more horrible shit for you. So with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Anofo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sanders, and Chris Logie. Good night.